mercy on me.
Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Port Gibson. Glad to be back after some time in Georgia with family. And I know y'all had a wonderful time last week with teaching Elder John Mabry in the pulpit, preaching about Simeon. So we've had a glorious celebration of the Christmas season. Please note that if you'd like to make end-of-year contributions to the undesignated fund, you can do that until the 22nd of January. Designated funds are already done. Bible study will be held in the annex on Tuesday at 4, and Lord willing, we'll also live stream on the church Facebook page. Prayer breakfast is this week, and we're going to be having that in the annex on Wednesday at 6:30 a.m. So, pry your eyelids open and come on. Should be a good time. And now let's be called to worship on this day when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing His praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we thank you that Christ did not come to be served, but to serve you and to serve us, giving all that he is and all that he has. So fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might truly trust in him, that we might follow his example of self-denying, unconditional, faithful love for one another and for you. For we come claiming only his merits and relying only on his sacrifice, even as we offer the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnal on this day when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The responsive reading comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 626. I'll read the light face print and encourage the congregation to respond with bold. This comes from Mark's account of the Last Supper. Let's read this portion of God's word responsively. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lambs were being slaughtered, Jesus' disciples said to him, Where would you like us to go and prepare for your Passover supper? So he sent out two of his disciples with these instructions. Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and when he enters a house, give this message to the householder. The master says, Where is the room reserved for me to eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, set out in readiness. Make the preparations for us there. Then the disciples went off, and when they came into the city, they found everything just as he had told them. So they prepared for Passover. In the evening, he came to the house with the 12. As they sat at supper, Jesus said, "I tell you this, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. The Son of Man is going the way appointed for him in the Scriptures. But alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." During supper, he took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them with the words, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and having offered thanks to God, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, shed for many. I tell you this, never again shall I drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing the Passover hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us sing a hymn as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We'll turn in our hymnals to selection 212, promising to remember the Lord as we do this. Selection 212. We'll sing all four stanzas, and let us stand to sing. Have sung the praise of the one who has given himself for us. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now and ever shall be.
be seated, except for our officers, our elder, and our two deacons who will be installed this morning. We have Mike Michael and Ed Lum and Lynn Montgomery. I'll ask them to come forward and have stand up right here on the platform so everyone can see you. And we have just a few questions. All of these men have already been ordained to their respective offices. And so we will not be doing an ordination, just an installation service. And so we'll be asking them to reaffirm the vows that they have already taken. So y'all come on up here so everybody can see you. Great. All right, I have just a couple of questions for them, and then I'll have a question for the congregation. All right, Mike and Ed and Lim, do you now reaffirm the vows you took upon your ordination, and do you recommit yourself to them in the discharge of your obligations? Do you?
I do.
Will you seek to be a faithful? Will you seek to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and a ruling elder or deacon, whether personal or interpersonal, private or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life, and to walk with exemplary piety before the congregation of which God is making you an officer? Will you?
I will.
Are you now willing to accept the responsibility in the life of this church as a ruling elder or deacon, and relying upon God for strength, promise to discharge to it the duties required of that office? Are you?
I am.
And now this is a question for the members of the congregation. Do you continue to receive Lim Montgomery as a ruling elder and Ed Lum and Mike Michael as deacons? And do you promise to yield them and all your officers all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which the ordination as an officer entitles them, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church? Do you?
I do.
By the authority of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and the session of this congregation, I declare that Ed Lum and Mike Michael have been duly and properly installed as deacons, and that Lim Montgomery has been duly and properly installed as a ruling elder of this congregation in accordance with the Word of God and the laws of this church. As such, they are entitled to be given support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to ask them if they will come at the end of the service and stand with me at the front door so you can all give them the right hand of fellowship and thank them for their upcoming 3 years of service. God bless you. Aren't we blessed to have such people who are willing to serve the congregation? And I'm going to be preaching on the office of ruling elder and deacon in just a minute. So they'll have their comeuppance in just a moment. But as we prepare our hearts for prayer and celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let's now take our hymnals in hand and we'll turn to selection 339. Our officers are to lead us in the way of Christ. Will we follow? Do we want to draw closer to Christ? Do we want to know more about Jesus? So we'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 339, and let us stand to sing.
Be seated. The good news is that if we want to know more about Jesus, we have what are known as the ordinary means of grace. We have prayer, we have the Word of God, and we can access those means of grace every day. And we also have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and baptism. Baptism we receive once. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper we receive as often as we can to remind us of that wonderful truth that Christ is with us and Christ is within us. And so, if we want to know more about Jesus, let's go to Him in prayer. Let's go to Him in the Word. Let's go to Him in the sacraments. Let us pray. Lord and our God, we come before you at the beginning of a new year, and we pray, our Lord, that you would indeed be with us. Father, we celebrated that wonderful truth all during the Christmas season, that in Jesus Christ, God is with us. And today, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the even more amazing truth that in His Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is God within us. And so, Lord, this year, we want to grow more into Christ. We want to learn more about Jesus. We want to share more of Christ with one another and with those around us. And so that is our New Year's prayer, that you would help us not only to learn more about Jesus, but to live closer to Jesus, to walk more closely with Jesus this year. To that end, Lord, open our eyes to see Him, open our ears to hear His voice, and then as we gather around the table, open our mouths to receive Him into ourselves spiritually. For we offer this prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Today, as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and as we install ruling elders and deacons, we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, the verses 30 through 44. A very familiar story, the passage about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I think this will have a lot to tell us about what it is that ruling elders and deacons do for us and what we are called to do as a response to this leadership. We'll begin Mark chapter 6 with verse 30 and read through verse 44. This is the word of God. "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught while they were off on their mission trip. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, went before them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That is God's word for God's people and God's leaders. So how appropriate it is for us to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on a day when we install deacons and elders. For it is during the sacrament that the elders are most publicly and visually involved in the life and work of the congregation as they pass the trays of communion elements among the faithful. Elders demonstrate in an unmistakable way the same thing that deacons show us day in and day out. The essence of Christian leadership is service. The word deacon means servant. The word minister means servant. The essence of leadership is service. And we see the same truth so clearly in today's passage, don't we? For Jesus' disciples were also called to be leaders in the church. They had been given a lot of responsibility. Early in this chapter, Jesus had sent them out 2 by 2 to preach and to cast out demons and to heal the sick. And at the beginning of today's passage, they had come back from their short-term mission trip, and they were heady with success, and they were anxious to report to Jesus all that they had done and all that they had taught. Leadership brings with it great honor, and it's easy to let titles go to your head. Jesus knew this, and so it seems that in this passage, he was taking the opportunity to take his disciples down a notch or two. For in these verses, Jesus made their limitations as clear to them as their strengths had been on that mission trip. You see, in this passage, Jesus is teaching them a basic lesson in humility. And that is a valuable lesson for all of us, but how much more for our leaders. So why is it important that Christian leaders especially should be humble? In the first place,
It's because our resources are limited. Resources are limited. Remember, the disciples had just returned from an intensive season of ministry. They had experienced great success, but their efforts had exhausted them. And there was no rest for them. Verse 31 says the crowd's constant demands were so great, they did not even have time to eat. Yes, these guys may have been mightily used of God, but they were also mighty close to burnout. In the same way, it's easy for modern leaders to imagine that we are indispensable. It's easy for us to imagine that we have been chosen to do a job, and so we're the only ones who can do that job. But we Presbyterians know better. That's why we have a whole board of deacons to organize and mobilize the congregation for service. You can see their names on the back of your order of service. And that's why we have a whole session of ruling elders. That's the collective for a set of ruling elders is a session. We have a whole session, not just one minister or one priest. That's why we have a whole presbytery full of teaching and ruling elders rather than just relying on one bishop. There is no reason, Presbyterians, there is no reason for any one of our deacons or any one of our elders to shoulder the whole burden. And that is largely because there is no way any one person can do the job of Christian leadership. So leaders should be humble because we're limited in our abilities. But the disciples weren't just limited by their energy level. No, Jesus went a step further and he asked them to do something that was, quite frankly, impossible for them. There was no way. Even after they pooled all of their resources, very meager resources, there is no way they could have fed that huge crowd. So Jesus taught the disciples humility, not only by pointing to their lack of energy, but also by asking them to do something they could not do. And that's still the case today, isn't it? The job of leading a church is not hard just because of the number of problems that people face. The truth is, much of the job of church leadership is frankly impossible for any human being to do, or any group of human beings to do. After all, Jesus told us, what did Jesus tell us to do? Make disciples of all nations. We can't make anybody follow Jesus. None of us can. We can't save anybody else's soul. We can't kindle a fire of faith inside someone else's heart. We can't produce the fruit of hope or love in someone else's life. We can't even bring someone to an intellectual understanding of God on our own without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. None of these things are possible in our own strength. Without the regenerating, without the empowering work of the Holy Spirit in us and in others, it's impossible. The mission of the church and its leaders is not the mission of the leaders. It is the mission of God. And he just lets us help him out in accomplishing it. And Jesus made that point obvious, didn't he, in this passage. The disciples just waited on tables. Jesus was the one providing the people's needs. So the essence of Christian leadership is humble service. Humble because of our personal limitations and humble because of the impossibility of what we're being asked to do. Humble service. So if the hallmark of a Christian leader is humility, it's also fidelity. Elders and deacons are called to a life of radical trust. And not just because of our inability to perform the tasks set before us. No, we must trust Christ to accomplish Christ's work in the hearts of Christ's people. Regardless of whether we deacons or elders know what is going on or not. If we have to be conscious of our weakness, we also have to be conscious of our ignorance. But think about it. What do we see in this passage? Jesus tells his disciples, have everybody sit down. He didn't tell them what was going to happen. For all they knew, he was going to have them sit everybody down in groups so that they could break the news to the crowd. Sorry, there's nothing to eat. And then they would have to answer all the questions. Why isn't there? Why didn't you let us go earlier? Why? They didn't know. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they knew who was in charge. Their trust was in Christ alone. And so they did what Jesus said. Even if it didn't make any sense to them, even if having everybody sit down seemed a completely pointless thing in the face of this urgent problem, they just did what they were told. They told everybody to sit down. And then they continued to follow Jesus' lead. They just handed out the bread and the fish that he gave them. They didn't try to improvise. They didn't try to get creative. They didn't urge the people to have a grass salad while they waited. They just trusted Jesus. Jesus, I can't do this. Jesus, you give me what these people need, and then I'll give it to them. They trusted Jesus, and their trust was not disappointed. Elders and deacons, if we are called to the same kind of humility that they had, we're also called to that kind of trust. It's not our responsibility to make up answers to the people's problems. It's not our job to blaze new trails of creative theology. We all know how that works out in a denomination that will not be named. We're not. We're just called to give what Jesus gave to us. We're just called to hand on to the next generation the faith which we received, the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We're just called to share our Christian experience, our knowledge of the Bible, with other Christians, people like us, who are confronting temptations and trials every day. We're called back time and time again to Christ, who alone has the power to multiply the loaves and the fish, who alone has the power to meet the deepest needs of the people we're called to serve. We're called to depend on him as the people depend on us. We are not called to be served, but to serve. To serve what Jesus gave us. So, what about those whom we are called to serve? This passage says something about them too, something that's not necessarily flattering, is it? What did Jesus say when he saw the crowd? He was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were like sheep without shepherds. And so even though Jesus was just as hungry and just as tired as the disciples were, he began to teach them many things. He began to tell them more about Jesus. Why? Because they were sheep without shepherds. And if that was true of the people of Jesus' day, it's just as true today. Even though we American Christians imagine ourselves to be self-sufficient individualists, we don't know a whole lot more about living the Christian life than the people that listened to Jesus in that grassy meadow 2,000 years ago. Now, is that true? Oh, we may have a few more things on our plate they didn't have on theirs. We may have a few more bits of information they hadn't yet heard. But the fact is, most of us are still clueless. Recent poll from Probe Ministries tells us what people said when they were asked the question, is Jesus the only way to God? How do you think people responded? These are born-again Christians. These are people who say they believe the Bible. And Jesus said in John 14:6 that no one comes to the Father but through me. But do you know how the people answered that question? The born-again Christians answered that question? People who say they've made a personal commitment to Christ, you know how they answered that question in modern America? 70% said Jesus is not the only way to God. And you know, people who call themselves born-again Christians only make up a third of everybody who calls themselves Christians in America. Oh, yes. The modern church needs to learn a whole lot more about Jesus. And if the modern church needs to know more about Jesus, how much more does everybody else need to know about Jesus? And we all need to follow Jesus more consistently. And we all, therefore, need shepherds. However much we modern American Christians think we can do this Jesus thing on our own. Oh, I've got my Bible. Oh, I've got my prayer closet. Oh, I can figure it out for myself what's right and wrong. Really? The fact is that sin easily deceives us. Sin easily ensnares us. It is easy for us to rationalize what we want to do. And that is why we need shepherds. We need shepherds to lead us and guide us and point out the way to follow Christ today in this increasingly confusing, troubling world. That is why we need deacons. Not to lord it over us, I'm a deacon, but to lead us through their examples of selfless service. That is why we need elders. Not to tell us what to do. You must do what I say. I'm an elder. No. We need elders to tell us what Christ has said he wants all of us to do. And just as deacons and elders need each other to hold us accountable and keep us on the straight and narrow, the whole church needs all of these leaders. We need the people we elect to office. Why do we elect them? Because of their wise and godly words and deeds. We need these people to do what the disciples did at that boat landing so many years ago. We need them to hand out what Jesus has given us, the word of truth, the bread of life. We need them to help us learn more about Jesus by word and by deed. So, deacons, shepherd the sheep. Model a life of selfless service and encourage other Christians to follow your example. Elders, feed the sheep. Give yourselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Don't just serve the people the sacrament today, as you're going to do. Serve them the bread of life every day, as you speak the words of Christ to them and as you live the life of Christ before them. People of God, you have chosen elders and deacons to lead you in the way of Christ. So follow them as they follow the one who offered himself up for all his people once for all, shedding his blood that our blood need not be shed. Christ invites all his people to this table, some to serve, but all to receive. To receive the forgiveness, to receive the cleansing, to receive the nourishment that only he can provide. May we all come and be filled. Let's take up our hymnals as we prepare our hearts to come to the table. We'll turn to selection 220. Selection 220, Break Thou the Bread of Life. We'll sing the first, second, and last stanzas of hymn 220. And let us stand to sing.
Thank you. touch my eyes and make me see. Know me the truth concealed within thy word.
Let us remember as we approach the Lord's table that Christ is spiritually present here. We enjoy spiritual communion with Christ here. Our souls are fed with this food. By this sacrament, Christ and all his benefits are applied to and sealed upon us. Now, it's not required of those who partake of this meal that they be members of this church or Presbyterians in general. All those who have been baptized and made a public profession of faith in any Christian church are welcome. But remember what Paul said. Whoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so if you are an unbeliever or an unrepentant believer, if you're living in defiance of Christ's commands, or if you just don't know what this bread or this cup mean, then this meal is not for you. Right. But remember what Jesus said. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Him who comes to me, I will not cast out. So if you truly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbors, if you intend to follow the commandments of God and to walk in his holy ways, then this table is for you. So draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and strength, making your humble confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Lord, you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the maker of all things. You are the judge of all of us. And Lord, you know what you've spoken to us in your word. And you know what we know about your word. And you know how little of your word we have followed in our own lives. And so, Lord, we want to confess what you already know. We want to confess the things that we've done that we know you didn't want us to do. We want to confess the things that we didn't do that we know good and well you did want us to do. Lord, by thought and word and deed, we have broken your perfect holy law of love, love for you and love for others. And we know that because we've broken your law, we have offended your divine majesty. And we know we deserve exactly what Jesus got on the cross. And so, we would repent. We would turn away from all that sin. We would turn away from all those attempts to make up for ourselves how we should live. Lord, when we remember our sins, we are saddened. Because we know that our sin breaks your heart. And so we pray that you would have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, we pray that you would forgive us all that is past. And grant that we, in this new year, might serve you and might please you and might live in newness of life. That we might live to the honor and glory of your name. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and who trust in Christ. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news is that all those who trust in Christ are forgiven. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the work of Christ, and we thank you for the food on this table, and we ask that you would be with us now, that your Holy Spirit would work in us so that this bread and this fruit of the vine might be set apart, that we might receive by faith the body and blood of Jesus Christ crucified for us. Grant that here we might so feed upon Christ that he might be one with us and we might be one with him, that he might live in us and we might live in him. And then let us live for him who has loved us and given himself up for us. Merciful Father, we lift up our hearts to heaven where Jesus Christ is seated at your right hand. We know he will come again to complete our redemption. In him, all your promises are fulfilled. In him, all spiritual blessings are found. And so it's in joy of heart and Christian love for one another that we come to this table, your table, giving you thanks for the great love you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. After the same manner, our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as we have done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for graciously feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for assuring us by this sacrament of your favor and your goodness towards us. We thank you for assuring us by this sacrament that we are members of the body of Christ along with all your faithful people, and that we are heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of Christ's suffering and death. And so we ask you, O Heavenly Father, in this new year, to enable us with your grace to continue in your holy fellowship, that we might do all such good works as you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. We'll sing just the first stanza of our closing hymn, hymn number 207, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. We'll sing just the first stanza. Let us stand to sing. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will,
working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.